too polished. You may be sure that the mind also is no less absorbed in petty things. The really great man speaks informally and easily. Whatever he says, he speaks with assurance rather than with pains. You are familiar with the young dandies, natty as to their beards and locks, fresh from the bandbox. You can never expect from them any strength or any soundness. Style is the garb of thought. If it be trimmed, or dyed, or treated, it shows that there are defects and a certain amount of flaws in the mind. Elaborate elegance is not a manly garb. If we had the privilege of looking into a good man's soul, oh, what a fair, holy, magnificent, gracious, and shining face should we behold, radiant on the one side with justice and temperance, on another with bravery and wisdom, and besides these, thriftiness, moderation, endurance, refinement, affability, and, though hard to believe, love of one's fellow men. That good which is so rare in man, all these would be shedding their own glory over that soul. There, too, forethought combined with elegance and, resulting from these, a most excellent greatness of soul, the noblest of all these virtues. Indeed, what charm, O ye heavens, what authority and dignity would they contribute? What a wonderful combination of sweetness and power! No one could call such a face lovable without also calling it worshipful. If one might behold such a face, more exalted and more radiant than the mortal eye is wont to behold, would not one pause, as if struck dumb by a visitation from above, and utter a silent prayer, saying, "May it be lawful to have looked upon it." And then, led on by the encouraging kindliness of his expression, should we not bow down and worship? Should we not, after much contemplation of a far superior countenance, surpassing those which we are wont to look upon, mild-eyed and yet flashing with life-giving fire, should we not then, I say, in reverence and awe, give utterance to those famous lines of our poet Virgil? O maiden, words are weak. Thy face is more than mortal, and thy voice rings sweeter far than mortal man's. Blessed be thou, and whoe'er thou art, relieve our heavy burdens. And such a vision will indeed be a present help and relief to us if we are willing to worship it. But this worship does not consist in slaughtering fattened bulls, or in hanging up offerings of gold or silver, or in pouring coins into a temple treasury. Rather, does it consist in a will that is reverent and upright. There is none of us, I declare to you, who would not burn with love for this vision of virtue, if only he had the privilege of beholding it. For now, there are many things that cut off our vision, piercing it with too strong a light, or clogging it with too much darkness. If, however, as certain drugs are wont to be used for sharpening and clearing the eyesight, we are likewise willing to free our mind's eye from hindrances, we shall then be able to perceive virtue, though it be buried in the body, even though poverty stand in the way, and even though lowliness and disgrace block the path. We shall then, I say, behold that true beauty, no matter if it be smothered by unloveliness. Conversely, we shall get a view of evil and the deadening influences of a sorrow-laden soul, in spite of the hindrance that results from the widespread gleam of riches that flash about, and in spite of the false light of official position on the one side, or great power on the other, which beats piteously upon the beholder. Then it will be in our power to understand how contemptible are the things we admire, like children who regard every toy as a thing of value, who cherish necklaces bought at the price of a mere penny as more dear than their parents or than their brothers. And what, then, as Aristo says, is the difference between ourselves and these children, except that we elders go crazy over paintings and sculpture, and that our folly costs us dearer? Children are pleased by the smooth and variegated pebbles which they pick up on the beach, while we take delight in tall columns of veined marble brought either from Egyptian sands or from African deserts to hold up a colonnade or a dining hall large enough to contain a city crowd. We admire walls